Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Frank Friar Podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood Carmelite, the Frank Friar, a.k.a. Father Nicholas, reporting to you all from Middletown, New York. And today we are getting into the fifth dwelling of the interior castle. The last episode was sort of an introduction to the last three dwellings today, and I believe the next two episodes after this one, we're going to just be getting into the fifth dwelling. And one of the big themes, one of the big topics, one of the big things that she is speaking about in the fifth dwelling, you know, the interior castle, is this notion of prayer she calls the prayer of union. Now, she'll call this under different names in different texts, like in her spiritual autobiography, but I'm going to stay with the title prayer of union because that's what she uses in this particular text, and that's what we're going through right now. So in the fourth dwelling, she talks about how the soul experiences sort of a state of relationship with Christ, that you're not fully awake and you're not fully asleep. You're sort of in this dreamlike state. And one of the fundamental things about the interior castle is this movement of ever deeper intimacy with God. So now in the fifth dwelling, you know, the notion of our faculties, they sort of fall asleep. They fall asleep to both things of the world and to the things of the self, you know, and we're realizing the need to be utterly dependent upon God. So as Kieran Cavanaugh says, and I'm going to be using him a lot, I just love this guy. You know, if you're looking for a good text, the Interior Castle Study Edition from ICP, the Carmelite publication, you can do better. His commentary will, I think, help you to just get into Teresa of Avila. His summary of the chapters are great. It's just, he's a phenomenal guy. And I can't, we just lost him recently. He just passed away not too long ago. And it was a great loss to the Carmelite family around the world. But in relationship to the beginning of the interior castle, the fifth dwelling, you know, he says this, quote, "In the fifth, neither imagination, nor memory, nor intellect, nor even the devil can impede the prayer of union. The soul is left with wonderful blessings because God works in the soul without anyone disturbing him, not even ourselves," end quote. So the movement and the work and the necessity of our imagination, of constructing things, sort of maybe almost in a Jesuitical sort of sense, you know, the Jesuit sort of prayer and the use of the imagination, you know, they might begin to become a hindrance here. This is where we sort of see a big divergence between like maybe our form of spirituality, Carmelites, and that of Jesuits. And one of the things that comes about from this prayer of union is the soul is given by God a certitude of what God is doing. You know, God's presence is becoming ever more clear. And it's almost a natural movement within the self because of what Christ is doing to become ever more open to the presence of his grace. You know, God is in all things by his, of course, presence, power, and essence, as we are reminded by Kieran Cavanaugh. So this prayer, as he goes along to say, this prayer cannot be attained through the soul's effort, although through our love and complete surrender to God, we can dispose ourselves to receive this favor, end quote. You know, so the prayer of union fundamentally has a distinctive mark of contemplation to it. You know, in the Jesuit school, you know, we can sort of get ourselves into the place of contemplation. You know, God's going to be doing things, but we can get ourselves kind of there. You know, it's just a deeper, more intense form of meditation, the way I understand. And I could be wrong on this. You know, if I have Jesuits listening, you know, please send me an email to correct me. But, you know, it seems there's a much more human action involved in the place, the moment of contemplation. And, you know, Jesuit prayer versus Carmelite. For us Carmelites, God is the one that gives contemplation. He's the one that brings us into it. All we can do is predispose him. All we could do, we don't need to predispose him. We are the ones being predisposed. We have to predispose ourselves to be with him and to be open to him as a movement of surrender to the complete action and movement of God. As Teresa says, may he be forever praised. Amen. We are beginning to see now the movement of this life of prayer is about giving that eternal praise to God, to be open to God. Why? So we can praise him better. So, you know, this prayer of union, I'm going to touch on this more. And when, you know, episodes next week are going to touch upon the symbol of the spiritual butterfly in this process of transformation that occurs within this dwelling place. And she has a great image of that. But it's important to realize that all of this in the fifth dwelling is about this prayer of union. And it's in this prayer of union that we begin to have these deep, profound meetings with God. I'm actually looking through the pages right now, trying to find a good quote from Teresa. I have a lot of dog ears on my books, so it doesn't really help, I suppose. But that's my method of madness. She writes, quote, "For all their desires are directed toward pleasing God." And that's what's happening in these last dwelling places, is more and more of our desires are being directed totally and utterly to God. And as she goes on to say, the truth is that the treasure lies within you, our very selves. This is what I would like to know how to explain, if the Lord would enable me to do so. She's trying to say, hey, God is in our soul because we are the baptized. We're journeying inward, wrestling with ourselves to be more present to him. As she goes on to say, don't think this union is some kind of dreamy state like the one I mentioned before. There is no need here to use any technique to suspend the mind, since all the faculties are asleep in this state and truly asleep to the things of the world and to ourselves. Kieran Cavanaugh put that in his own words. Those are the direct words from Teresa. And then finally she goes on to say, in sum, it is like one who in every respect has died to the world so as to live more completely in God. Thus, the death is a delightful one, an uprooting from the soul of all the operations it can have while being in the body. So this notion of spiritual death happens in these meetings, in these moments of prayer of union, so we can die to self, die to the world, and be more present and more alive in Christ, one of the fundamental aspects. So there's a sort of disconnectedness to the things around us so we can have an utter focus on God. So this episode's going a little long, but I hope this helps. We're going to be wrestling with some important images to get into this prayer of union in the next two episodes next week. But remember, it's about having these profound meetings with God in which it's us and him, but in a way that love comes about so it can impact the world around us. You know, this is not just an I and Jesus time. It's always been for the sake of community. You know, by working on growing in relationship and love of God, we naturally grow in that process of love of neighbor. And that love of God can only be authenticated through love of neighbor. They are never separated, but always united. And in these moments of prayer union, the intensification of our ability to love God has an impact that will hit those around us. So thank you very much for your time today. I hope this episode helped you. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you. May God continue to bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you like what I'm doing here on my podcast, please make sure to click that subscribe button and leave a little review. It really does help other people find me. And if you want more of my content, you can head over to my website, thefrankfryer.com. There at my website, thefrankfryer.com, you can find videos I've done. You can find memes I've made. You can email me through that website. You can see things I've written. All this is at thefrankfryer.com. Thank you very much for your time today. Know that I'll be praying for you.